This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
Thing I'd like to call to order the Joint Appropriations Committee. I want to welcome those of you that are in attendance and also to our listening audience. Just a reminder, if you're going to be speaking, please sign in. And also, if you have cell phones, to please turn them off. I would ask our secretary to take the roll, please.
Nesba?
Here.
Saba?
Here.
White? Sutton?
Here.
Partridge?
Yep.
Lake?
Here.
Colbeck?
Here.
Greenfield? Bartles?
Here.
Gross?
Here.
Howard?
Here.
Koth?
Here.
Peterson?
Here.
Post? Maher?
Here.
Hunhoff?
Here.
Wick?
Here.
And Carr is excused. Madam Chair, there's a quorum.
Thank you. We have a quorum present. We have new pages in the room. I would ask them to come up to the microphone, turn on, tell us your name, where you're from, what your major or what you're looking at, where you're going to school, and who's going to win the game Saturday, the Rabbits or the Coyotes?
My name is Rachel Ketcha. I'm a senior at Dole High School. I will be attending Mitchell for radiologic technology and then continuing on in radiation therapy there. And I honestly, I don't know who's going to win the game. I don't watch either team.
My name is Hattie Schaefer. I'm a senior at T.F. Riggs High School. Next year, I plan to attend SDSU to study human biology. So I think that the Jacks are going to win.
Thank you. Go Jacks. All right. Well, are there any introductions or personal privileges that any of our members would like? If not, we will proceed to our one-item agenda. This time, I'd like to recognize former Senator Larry Tiedemann, who is chair of this committee, and he is going to introduce our speakers. So thank you very much, Senator, that you're able to do that. I didn't realize you were on the Wichee board, so I see you're on both boards, so you love to travel, I take it.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of this distinguished committee. Yes, when I retired as a senator, the governor appointed me as her designee to both MEC and to Wichee. So, yes, I get to travel. The pay is about what I got, in fact, a little less than when I served with you folks out here in Pierre. But it does keep my mind refreshed, and I had the great opportunity to meet the new president of Wichee, Demi, and Demi is here to visit with you and share the story about how we can connect and maybe get more service with the compact that we've belonged to for about 30 years. So, thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much for the introduction, and I would just remind you, please identify yourself for our home listening audience, and welcome to South Dakota.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Thank you for your time this morning. My name is Demi Michalow. I'm the president of the Western Interstate Commission for Higher Education, or WICHE. I understand that I have a time limit, and I will be respectful of that. I will quickly let you know a bit about WICHE, the organization, and talk about how WICHE partners with the state of South Dakota. I have included at your seats a two-page handout that describes some of these things in more detail. And I'll just be clear, this is just a glimpse of the way that South Dakota and WICHE works together, and there are other opportunities potentially as well. WICHE is an interstate compact of the 16 western states and U.S. territories and freely associated states. And we are codified in state law. We were originated in 1953 when the western states came together around interstate collaboration and reciprocity. Our compact was ratified by Congress in also 1953 and signed by President Dwight D. Eisenhower. Our mission is quite straightforward, and that's to expand educational access and excellence for all citizens of the West. We do that through cooperation, resource sharing, innovation, and sound public policy. We are governed by a 48-member board, and there are three commissioners appointed by the governor of each of our WICHE members, and I've displayed them here. We have Dr. Paul Barron, Dr. James Hansen, and former Senator Larry Tiedemann. The board has three primary responsibilities, and that is the fiduciary responsibility of our organization. They provide strategic direction, and they hire and fire the president. So Larry is one of my bosses. Most people know WICHE through our student access programs, or what we've called historically our student exchange programs, and I'll review those very quickly. One point I'll make is that we tend to throw around acronyms, so if at any point I use an acronym that is unclear, please don't hesitate to ask me. Our Western Undergraduate Exchange is commonly known as WUE, and that is a program where students pay up to 150% of resident tuition to attend institutions in other states. We have about 164 institutions participating, and I display this for you to see the uptake in South Dakota from students in other states. The point that I would make to you about our program for this state is that South Dakota is a net importer. So South Dakota received 1,874 students from states across the region in academic year 2019-2020. I don't know how to go back, so I apologize. I just want to emphasize very quickly that most of South Dakota students came from Colorado and Wyoming, but you also do get students through WUE from North Dakota as well as California. This slide shows that you had 513 of your state students go to institutions in other states for reduced out-of-state tuition. Most of those students went to Wyoming and North Dakota, but you had students also go to as far away as Hawaii and Alaska. To give you a sense of where students are going within the state, most of the WUE students went to South Dakota School of Mines and Black Hills State University and then SDSU. I'll hold that up for just a moment so you can see that. So that program is at our undergraduate level. We also have a similar program at the graduate level, and that is a program where we have about 940 master's, PhD, and graduate certificate programs at almost 60 institutions across the region. South Dakota institutions enrolled 160 students through that program. We recently underwent a change that now WRGP, another acronym, now has the same finance model, if you will, as WUE. So the institutions can charge up to 150% of resident tuition. So we're seeing a major expansion of this program. And we're talking to institutions and states about how they can use WRGP as a recruiting tool. Another area where South Dakota is extremely active is through our Interstate Passport, and that is a transfer program where students are able to transfer across state lines using what we call the Interstate Passport, and it's a block transfer of lower division general education core, but it's based on student learning outcomes, not just credit hours or courses. And the goal is to prevent students from having to retake courses if they transfer. And we do know students are transferring, and they're transferring across state lines. And it's a way to ease that process for them. The institutions in South Dakota are listed here. I won't read them off to you, but they're listed there under the fourth bullet. Next, we work closely with the institutions in the state to help provide professional development and opportunities for the academic leaders to learn from each other. And we have two primary groups to do that. That is our Western Alliance of Community College. That's my timer for this. The Western Alliance of Community College Academic Leaders and the Western Academic Leadership Forum. The Alliance is the group that focuses on the two-year institutions, and the Forum is the one that focuses on the four-year institutions. Michael Cartney is the executive committee member for Lake Area on the Alliance side. He represents Lake Area Technical College, and Jay Perry from the South Dakota Board of Regents serves as an executive committee member on our forum. Next, we have in the area of promoting sound public policy, we have our Legislative Advisory Committee, and the purpose of that group is to strengthen state policymaking in higher education across the West. And up to four legislators from each of our members participate in that. And that group has been around since about the mid-90s, and the point of it is to help us keep a finger on the pulse of what's happening legislatively across the region. But it's also to provide an opportunity for legislators to talk with and learn from other legislators in the West who are likely facing some of the same challenges that they are. Here are our LAC members from South Dakota, Representative Borglum, Senator Nessaba, Senator Partridge, and Representative Reed. Next, we have our WICHE Cooperative for Educational Technologies. WICHE is very active around technology-enhanced learning in higher education. We have an organization sort of within WICHE that's actually national, because distance education does not stop at our eastern border of our region. And that group is primarily colleges, state agencies, nonprofits, and corporations. And we have almost 400 members in that organization. And these are the WCT members from South Dakota. Again, I won't list them, but that gives you a sense of the deep partnership that we have, particularly in that area. The final area that I want to mention is it relates to behavioral health. Many folks who know WICHE think of us as a higher ed organization, which we are, but we also have a behavioral health unit within WICHE, and we have since the mid-50s, so it's not new. And the idea back then was that you could not access higher education without a healthy mind, and I think that that was very a lot of forethought and forward thinking back then, because we think that is true today. We've changed our language a little bit. We think you can't access or succeed in higher education today without a healthy mind. But our behavioral health program is extremely active in this state, and one area is through what we call the MHTTC. And that is actually a deep partnership with the University of North Dakota, but we work in South Dakota to provide training resources and technical assistance to the mental health providers in the region. And the focus is on rural areas, and we hope that the other regions in the country defined by the feds will look to this as a national model. So with that, I will end my remarks. Thank you, Madam Chair, for your time, members of the committee, and I'm happy to answer any questions if that would be appropriate.
Thank you very much. Questions? Senator Sutton.
Madam Chair, thank you. I do have a question with your mental health program there. Do you have any statistics in regards to suicide?
Madam Chair, Senator Sutton, we do. I would hesitate to cite them off the top of my head, but I would be happy to connect you with our Vice President for Behavioral Health, okay, who can give you
thank you.
Numbers we can stand by.
Okay, thank you. No follow-up.
Thank you. Other questions? I'm just going to follow up on that same track. Can you, in a very brief way, describe what kind of programming you have in that mental health access and what the resource really is?
Madam Chair, yes, I can. So the behavioral health unit actually expands beyond higher education. One of the areas that they have done that's more community-based is they have a significant project from the VA right now that is working to prevent suicide among veterans, but it's really working with the community based veterans organizations to do that. They do fidelity reviews. There was a lawsuit in Arizona where Arizona was found to not have been compliance with certain requirements around providing mental health services. And so WICHE has been now called in to ensure that compliance is happening. So we have done campus-based work as well, mental health first aid, to help train staff and faculty and other campus leaders so that we can prevent tragedies like Virginia Tech and Northern Illinois University. So that hopefully will give you a taste of some of the other activities that they do.
Just a follow-up for that, then, do the education or whoever is working with you, do they pay a fee or to access those services, or how does that happen?
Madam Chair, yes. So our behavioral health unit is actually self-supported. So the dues, they do not receive dollars that the states pay in dues. They are quite successful in the state contracts that they have been working on and the federal grants and others. They are actually our largest unit at WICHE.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else? Representative Gross?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Early in your presentation, you referenced the 150% tuition for out of state. And first of all, is my assumption correct that that's based on the understanding that in most cases, out of state tuition is more than 150% of in-state tuition? And also, how does that tie in with we've got so many adjoining states with reciprocal tuition? You know, what's the relevance, I guess, of the 150% tuition factor?
Madam Chair, Representative Gross, so the up to 150% tuition is, it does not have to be. The institutions have a lot of flexibility. Some of our institutions, South Dakota included, depending, and I know you have the reciprocity with certain surrounding states, don't charge an additional, but it is a marketing tool. Now, I don't believe, for instance, you have a reciprocity agreement with California.
Right.
And so the other Western states is where there is a lot of benefit there. And I think that our states would say that the ability to be able to recruit students based on the WUI marketing piece is quite important. You asked a second question, and I forgot what it was. And
well,
I'm sorry.
Follow up, if I may. I think that covers it. I guess using examples, not that we want to lose a South Dakota student, but if a South Dakota student wanted to go to a school in Oregon, California, or Washington, they would pay in-state plus 50%.
It depends on the institution.
Oh.
Again, we give a lot of flexibility, and it depends on the program, to be honest. So if you have a program in, say, Washington that is trying to recruit more students, they could, that institution could say, no, we will give in-state tuition.
Oh, okay.
That we do not set that as WICHE.
Follow up, if I may, then. So basically the 150%, though, is a cap that applies
Madam
to
Chair,
all of the member institutions.
Representative Gross, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I'd have a quick question.
Senator Maher.
As you, within your organization, what are you seeing with needs-based scholarships across these states?
Madam Chair, Senator Maher, before I was in this position, I was the Vice President for Policy Analysis and Research, so I will attempt to answer that question as opposed to the behavioral health. What I see across the region is a trend toward more need-based financial aid. South Dakota, frankly, has been behind the curve in that. Many of our states have had robust need-based financial aid programs for a long time, and others have been really picking up the ones that didn't have been picking up the pace in recent years. So I would encourage if you either want me to follow up or look at the NASGAP report, and that would show that as well.
And that just brings up one other question. Why is that trend increasing? What's causing that? Is it just because tuition rates are rising at a faster rate than incomes, or what's the root cause of all that?
Madam Chair, Senator Maher, I think it's fundamentally it's affordability. States are talking much more about affordability, and that it has been seen as a rational way of trying to address that in many states. We at WICHE encourage states who are looking at this to think about this comprehensively and not only think about financial aid, but as you alluded to, think about appropriations, tuition, and financial aid as being aligned. You know, if you're out of whack or thinking about these decisions independently, sometimes then you might end up in a place that is challenging down the line. So if you haven't been thinking about financial aid in a long time, that might be where you're at. So states are trying to, in some cases, pick up that slack, but fundamentally affordability is what's driving these discussions and trying to help those students who are in need.
Senator Nisba.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to follow up on that question, I know we're out of time. To what degree does WICHE or any of the other compacts that we work with do any advocacy at the federal level? Because one of the things that the good senator from all of representing all of Northwestern South Dakota asks is that Pell Grants simply have not kept up. And I don't know if we do any advocacy through WICHE advocating for more federal money.
Madam Chair, Senator Nessaba, as you probably noticed from the map, we have a very diverse region. And so we as staff do not advocate at the federal level without any approval from the WICHE Commission. And so because we're so diverse politically, geographically, everything, we have chosen to take a very parsimonious approach to the positions that we take. They're approved by the commission, and typically we don't, it's more a statement of principles and affordability and support for financial aid for students is one of those principles. I would be happy to share that with the committee if that is requested. What has been approved, that was approved in 2018. One of the things that I would like to do this year, because I think that the landscape has changed somewhat, is to ask the commission to either reaffirm or revisit those principles to make sure that's where we are.
Thank you. Thank you for the presentation. You provided a certainly a succinct overview of what your organization is doing. Want to acknowledge and thank Senator Nisba and Senator Partridge for your participation on the advisory board. And are there any last short comments, Senator Tiedemann?
Madam Chair, thank you very much. And the discussion was fantastic. Go Jacks.
Thank you. Well, I would entertain a motion.
Madam Chair.
Senator Wick.
I move to adjourn.
Moved by Senator Wick, second by Representative Bartles. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. We are adjourned and join appropriations.